Hey everyone, welcome to the Bridgepoint Message Podcast. This is Andy and I'm part of the digital ministry team here at Bridgepoint. So many people strive to be authentic, but what does it mean? Derived from the Greek for self and to do or be, authentic means to be oneself. And today, many use the word to describe being genuine or knowing about oneself. But how do you do that? In today's message, Chad teaches three truths that will help answer the question, how do we grow in knowledge of self? And most importantly, why it is important in our relationship with God.
I am not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, because we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away. They say, no one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious. When the sharpest words want to cut me down, I'm going to send a flood, going to drown them out. I am brave. I am bruised. I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. Look out, because here I come. And I'm marching on to the beat I drum. I'm not scared to be seen. I make no apologies. This is me. Lyrics from the popular song called This Is Me. Happy Sunday, Bridgepoint. Hello, Tyrone. Those watching online, great to be with you today. If you're new here and you're thinking like, I mean, I think he's the guy who's been up there the last few weeks. Let's just go over this again. Myself, Tyler, and Travis, we are all bald and white. That is us. But this is me. I'm Chad and happy to be here. We are continuing our series today called Deep Waters. And Tyler established this series last week. This is what we mean when we say deep waters. Deep waters is a faith in Jesus, simple enough for a child, but strong enough for life. Now that is faith, simple enough for a child, strong enough for life. That's faith. What makes us deep waters is our commitment of going and growing together, not in complexity, but of simplicity. That's what makes this deep. Not because we're going in complexity, but because we're moving forward in simplicity. There's more room, more margin, more depth to go and grow together in this series. Last week, Tyler got it started by saying, building your faith on what you do for God will not produce the deep waters faith built through being with God. Doing for God cannot be replaced, being with God can't be replaced, shouldn't be replaced with doing for God, right? This is where you experience deep water faith, being with God. So on the surface, your life might be choppy, the waves crashing, right? All kinds of chaos and turbulence, but down deep, you have peace, you have calm. That's deep waters faith. That comes from being with God. Today, though, we're going to add a layer to the next step in the conversation in this series. Because we often in church talk about growing in the knowledge of God. Makes sense. Pretty important. But we're going to add another element today. We're going to talk about growing in the knowledge of you. Growing in the knowledge of me. Growing in the knowledge of self. You might think that growing in the knowledge of God, the pursuit of growing in the knowledge of God, and the pursuit of growing in the knowledge of you are two totally different planets, but they're not. They're actually intricately intertwined. In case you just think I'm a fool going rogue here, let's look at church history. Augustine, you can never disagree with him, right? You can, he's human. How can you draw close to God when you are far from your own self? Grant, Lord, that I may know myself, that I may know thee. See how those are so intertwined together? John Calvin later says, our wisdom consists almost entirely of two parts. You ready for them? The knowledge of God and of ourselves. But as these are connected together by many ties, it is not easy to determine which of the two precede and gives birth to the other. Chicken or the egg thing, right? But both are vital. It's not just our pursuit of growing in the knowledge of God. It's our pursuit of growing in the knowledge of ourselves. I know this sounds weird, though, today, because if I asked you, what are some ways that you can grow in the knowledge of God? You'd be like, read your Bible, pray, community, all very good and evident answers, right? But if I asked you, how do you grow in the knowledge of you? You'd be like, come again? I mean, you're not used to hearing that, right? Especially at church. But let's ask that question. Let's have the freedom to ask that question today. How can I grow in the knowledge of me? Does that sound weird? That feels weird, doesn't it? But let me just, for the sake of time, be as direct as I can be. Jesus valued you and your soul so much that he was willing to be pinned and murdered on the cross for you, for uniquely you. He values your soul that much. So it's time for you and I to start doing the same, to grow in the knowledge of God and to grow in the knowledge of self. All right, so how can we? Here's what we're gonna be talking about today. One, believe that your value is permanent. Two, learn how to feel emotion. Three, commit to living out your authentic self. The reason why I started off this message today by reciting lyrics from the song, This Is Me, is because just about 2 years ago, I was sitting in the back of the Tyrone Auditorium and I was moved emotionally. It was my first time ever at Bridgepoint. And a worship leader that day was doing the cover of the song, This Is Me. And I was a young man. I mean, come on, only 2 years ago, so please. But I was a young man who was in an incredibly raw place in my life when it came to trying to figure out who I was. Asking questions like we all do. What gifts do I have? Are the gifts that I think are my gifts my real gifts? Will people affirm that to be the truth? Because there's a difference, right? At times when I'm trying to help people, I hurt them. I mean, my life could be gone tomorrow. What does God want me to do today? I was at a place where I was trying to discover myself. Little did I know how God would use this church, and this team, this staff, and this community to help fan into flame passions of mine and to bring out the best of me so that I could say with confidence rooted in Jesus today, this is me. But how do you get there? And when you get there, how do you live there? First, believe that your value is permanent. It all starts with our identity, right? Believe that your value is permanent. While passions and callings in your life can change, your value doesn't. Your value is permanent. John, in the letter 1 John says, "See what great love the Lord has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God." And that is what we are. Lavished on us. See what great love the Lord has buried us in, overwhelmed us by, that we should be called the children of God. And I love the second part. And that is what we are. You know why John wrote that? Because he's writing, hey, you're children of God. Also, I know you're doubters. And so you see this, isn't this amazing? You're a child of God. You think, I don't know that I am. And John says, and you are. As Tyler shared last week, every single person is created in the image of God. Comes with intrinsic value, right? And the moment you put your faith in Jesus using your words, your heart, but you essentially say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I'm filled with flaws and imperfections. Help. Teach me how to follow you and to do life with you, okay? But the moment, however you do that, you extend that relational invitation to Jesus, boom, you are permanently adopted into the family of God forever. Permanent status. You are a child of God. That is what you are. Our value is not dependent upon how well we live out our calling. Let me use the ultimate example of Jesus. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. This is from the book of Matthew. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Weeks ago, we had a panel up here, and one of the women shared this truth. It's the first time it really resonated with me, that God the Father said this about Jesus before Jesus went to the cross, before he died for the sins of the world, before he rose from the dead, before the descension of the Holy Spirit. It's almost like God the Father was saying, "Hey, big game coming up. I don't care, Jesus, if you score 5 or 6 touchdowns or barely get in. Here's what I want everyone to know about you. You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Do you know that as a child of God, that is what God says about you and I today? And he said that about you before your feet even hit the floor getting up out of the bed today, or wherever you were trying to get some rest last night. All right? This is what Jesus says about you. This is what God the Father says about you. "This is my Son. This is my daughter, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Amen. That's your value. Before you're a husband or a father, before you're a wife or a mother, before you're an accountant or a CEO or a coach or a janitor, or before any of those things, you are a child of God. And you don't have to chase your value. You already have it. But it's easy to misplace that value. It's easy to put it into other areas that seem to promise to deliver value, but chronically fall short, right? Here's a few temptations in mistaking our value. First, buying into the lie, "I am what I do." Performance. Yikes. This is me. I think I've spent the majority of my Christian walk wanting to be great, wanting to be Billy Graham, specifically. Why is that so funny? Wanting to be the next celebrity pastor. I'm too cheap for all those fancy clothes. I just desired to be great. I remember telling people, "Listen, I don't care if it's just like picking up rocks. I want to be the greatest." Now in America, we might be like, "Now that's ambition. Woo! That's a young man of hunger." That's a person who's looking for value. But here's the truth that's changed my life. I don't have to keep looking for value. I don't have to keep looking for greatness. I've already achieved it. I am a child of God. It's one thing to intellectually know it, but when you believe it, you experience freedom. You experience joy. I've spent my life putting expectations on myself. Expectations that I conjured up and then thought that, you know, God kind of sprinkled his pixie dust on it and affirmed those. And then suddenly it became God's calling on my life. And suddenly I spent my life chasing God's calling on my life, which really was only mine. And what comes of it is stress and anxiety and pressure. Get up here as a preacher, and my thought is like, I just hope they like it. I hope I don't do bad. But you know what that's like at work. You know what it's like as a mom or a dad, where who you are is rooted on what you do. It's called enmeshment. You enmesh who you are with what you do. But before you are anything to anyone, you are a child of God. And once you believe that, you are freed to go enjoy that by being uniquely you. Second, so you have "I am what I do." That's a trap. "I am what I have." That's a lie. Right? just for the sake of time, like, you ever been on a mission trip or like gone to another part of the country, seen a developing country? You see kids who go home and they don't have water, or a lot of them even shelter. And yet you have, like, they have this incredible joy about them, right? Steve from World Vision a few weeks ago said there's this idea, this lie believed that people who have less are less. That's just not true. Seen it firsthand. And in fact, often the people who seem to have it all are still desperate to find joy and fulfillment, right? It's this garbage. I am what others think. I am what others think. We'd be here till evening services if I, like, you know, really went after this one here, but And not to you either, like with you, that I'm a culprit of this as well. I am guilty of all three of these things on a daily basis, okay? But I think this last year and a half has really, really exposed this. I am what others think, popularity. We lack an ability as people, or a commitment to living out values outside of our own categories or demographics. We have political affiliations that we're tied to, and we want to be affirmed by our people. We have racial tension. We have things where if something is right, we can't step out, we feel, and acknowledge it as right. Or if something is bad or evil, to step out and acknowledge as bad or evil. Instead, we're going to think about the voices that are going to turn on us. We love our tribes. We love our categories. We love the affirmation of people. But you can't follow Jesus and live out the kingdom if you are tied to a category, because the kingdom is bigger than any tribe or category. Jesus had the Pharisees mad. He had the Sadducees mad, who hated each other. He had the religious people upset. He had the Jews wondering if he was going to rep them more than what he was doing. He had the Samaritans wondering if he was actually kind of more on their side. He had everyone guessing, every tribe, every category. Jesus came to establish a kingdom. He wasn't chasing categories or affiliations. He was living out a kingdom agenda. And in order to do that, you have to choose to follow Jesus, not follow people. I'm not preaching or yelling at you. I'm in this with you. I have been guilty of that as well. Thinking and fearing, what will people say? Rather than just chasing Jesus. Hey, Jesus was so popular with people that they murdered him. Let's keep that in perspective. So, how do we grow in the knowledge of me, the knowledge of self? Well, first, it all starts with identity, right? Believe that your value is permanent. It's permanent. You could go change careers today. Your life can go through an incredible transition. You could lose all your income or gain it all. I'm sure you prefer that one, right? Like, and your value is permanent. You don't have to worry about losing it, all right? Second, we gotta learn how to feel emotion. Learn how to feel emotion. All right, now people right now are getting emotional internally, right? Emotion. Someone might be tapping you on the knee next to you like, hey, we're talking about emotion. I don't know if you've ever had a feeling before. You need to start feeling. That person is probably thinking about you. Yeah, and you need to learn how not to be governed by your feelings. All right, Mr. and Mrs. Hallmark movie, let's go. All right, learn how to feel emotion. Learn how to feel emotion. So we're created in God's image, every person. Believe it or not, every single person created in the likeness of God. You know, God is a God of emotion. Doesn't own him, but the Bible talks about Old Testament and New Testament describes God as emotional. So the fact that we have an emotion, it means that we look like our dad. Now, ours is totally off balance, right? We have like no control of ourselves. I'm here in here with you, right? But emotion is vital to who we are. and to understanding God as we understand ourselves. Let me give you some examples real quick. All right, from the Bible describing some emotions of God, okay? So Old Testament, my heart is torn within me, this is God speaking, and my compassion overflows. That's very emotional. My heart is torn within me and my compassion overflows. This is Jesus. Jesus took Peter with him and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and began to be filled with anguish and despair. Anguish and despair, extreme suffering and hopelessness. That's what that is. Then he told them, my soul is crushed with horror and sadness to the point of death. Stay here, stay awake with me. In studying this, I was kind of caught off guard by this. I don't think I had ever recognized Jesus's emotional vulnerability here. Look at what he said. My soul is crushed with horror and sadness to the point of death. Can you imagine if you ask someone in the church lobby how they're doing and that's their response? You wouldn't know what to do. You just move, walk quickly, ask for forgiveness later. Jesus says, stay here. Stay awake with me. This is Jesus. Incredible emotional vulnerability and dependency on the people around him. I just have never noticed that before. He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. So now you have different emotions going on at the same time. We can relate with that, right? Anger and sadness. Then he was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit, just so you don't think that Jesus is walking around sad and angry and hopeless all the time. All right, Jesus was filled with joy. Joy of the Holy Spirit. Again, Old Testament, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. It's a good jealousy. Just like I'd be jealous if someone suddenly tried to take my wife or my kids. Like, nope, she's mine and they're mine too, right? Possessive, protective, in a good way, right? God is possessive and protective of you, his child. He's a jealous of God. He's a jealous God. So we know that emotion is a thing when it comes to the character of God, right? He's perfect, we're not. But emotion is a reflection of who God is and us being made in his likeness. Now, how do we navigate it though? This could be a whole message or series, all right? So let's go quick though. We have to learn how to feel emotion, learn. Whether you're the person who's like, I don't feel things, okay? You need to learn how to feel because you're going to wreak, if you haven't already, violence on your relationship with God, yourself and people. Emotion is vital, vital to being emotionally and spiritually healthy. It's vital. You have to learn how to process it. Now, you other feelers who are dominated by emotion, you have to learn that you don't have to bow to it, right? But either way, the key is learning. Learning, right? Wherever you're at on the pendulum there. Okay, so first, name your emotion. Name your emotion. One of the things that makes this harder than what it needs to be sometimes is that we feel bad about the emotion we have, right? A lot, but we don't invite our emotion. Kind of like crazy thoughts. You don't invite your crazy thoughts. I know, I'm assuming you have crazy thoughts. I know, sorry, being presumptuous, forgive me. You do, right? And I'm gonna just guess that if your crazy thoughts and my crazy thoughts were put on a projector screen outside, none of us would be allowed in this building. No one's coming in. Increased security, no one's entering, right? Yeah, and we don't invite those crazy thoughts, right? We don't ask for them. You don't invite your emotions. Now, the happiness you do, all right? I've never seen someone struggle with processing happiness, all right? But sadness, anxiety, fear, right? Jealousy, you don't invite those. I doubt anyone woke up this morning and was like, dear Lord, fill me with a spirit of jealousy today. God, if I can just have one thing, right? It'd be a spirit of jealousy. Okay, no one asked for that. So rather than feel guilty about it or like push it away, just own it. I feel angry. I feel jealous. I feel anxious. I feel scared. I feel hurt. Name it. It's hard to process or defeat something in which you can't identify, right? Name it. All right, test the spirits, test the spirits. John, again, if you haven't figured it out by now, my favorite book of the Bible, 1 John. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. This has been really significant in my life the last few months of learning how to test the spirit, the spirits behind emotion. Okay, so here's what that could look like. So let's take the emotion of anger. So I'm talking to God, right? Or even maybe my spouse, working through it with someone, right? I feel angry. And Lord, is the anger because I saw someone vulnerable be taken advantage of? I saw the innocent, right, be hurt? Something that I know validates like who you are, right? It goes against, pardon me, who you are? Or is my anger because I want to hurt the person who's been hurting? So, Jesus, if this emotion is from you and matches up with everything I know about you, would you purify it and help me know how to use it, rightfully so? If it's not from you, will you please take it? But you gotta test it. Emotions are vital, vital to walking with the Holy Spirit. This is not just a self-help thing. This is how to interact with the Holy Spirit on a day-to-day thing. And God uses emotion to get your attention in the good ways and really annoying ways, right? But name it, test it, and then give it. Name it, pardon me, test it, and give it. Oh, that was too far back. We're going, nope, you didn't get it the first time. There you go. Name it, test it, give it. All right, I'm not gonna pretend that giving your emotion to God makes your emotion go away. Come on. But when you share with God real words and a real heart what you're feeling, you will experience a peace as promised in Scripture that transcends understanding. And it guards your heart in a way that nothing else does. Name it, test it, give it. All right? So how do we grow in the knowledge of self? How do you grow in the knowledge of you? How do I grow in the knowledge of me? Starts with identity, believing that your value is permanent. Second, you gotta learn how to feel emotion when it comes to walking with the Spirit of God every day. And finally, commit to living out your authentic self. Commit to living out your authentic self. All right, so you know the story of David and Goliath. It's really not much of a story of David and Goliath initially. It's Goliath and the Israelites. And the Israelites are being completely owned by Goliath. Like, there's nothing to talk about. Absolute domination and bullying from Goliath to the Israelites. So then this like young shepherd boy, David, shows up. And have you ever been walked into a room you weren't supposed to be in, like a meeting that you weren't invited to? You know, there's people there. You ever do that? I don't know. You can at least imagine it. You know, right away, you just feel like the feelings of like, who are you? Why are you here? You shouldn't be. You know, not high enough in the org chart, not on the right team, whatever. David felt that to the nth degree stepping on the battlefield. He was not supposed to be there, but showed extreme security in God, right? Of first and foremost, believing that his value came from God, not from people, right? Not from performance. Not from popularity, but from God. So he shows up to the battlefield. He then exemplifies how to learn how to feel and navigate emotion, not have it own you, when his older brother, life and death situation, his older brother demeans him, cuts him down. Says, what are you doing here? Who do you think you are? Well, hey, nice to see you. A time where he needed his brother the most, right? His brother turns on him. David processes that emotion in a healthy way, feels it, but doesn't allow it to dictate him. He then goes and finds King Saul, right? King Saul hears David's pitch. Hey, let me go out there. I could take this guy. I know my value. I'm secure in that. I know the desires and passions that God's given me, and I want to do this thing. Saul looks around. He's like, I don't really have much of a long line behind him. David, here's my armor. Best of luck to you, kid. Also, this is how everyone else has tried to fight him. So, you know, here's your turn. Look at David's response. David tries on the armor and he says, I cannot go in these because I am not used to them. So he took them off. He took the armor off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with the sling in his hand, approached the Philistine and finished the job. David, his value was secure. He navigated, right? How to feel that emotion when everyone's turning against him. But he committed to living out his authentic self. Because when that armor was put on him, David, to paraphrase, says to King Saul, this isn't me. This isn't me. I know this is how it's always been done before, but this isn't me. I know to everyone else it looks like I'm safe and secure and comfortable, but this isn't me. Maybe you're in a situation right now in your life where you know the armor doesn't fit. Maybe people look at you in your life right now, whatever stage you're at, whatever situation it is, and people look at you generally and they say, oh, he or she's good, seems to be doing fine. But you know the armor doesn't fit. Maybe an unhealthy relationship, maybe it's at work, whatever it is, but the people who know you the best and love you the most, they'll affirm the armor doesn't fit. So how do we navigate that? Here's some questions. Now up here I have, it says framing a rule of life. That is something that is referred to in this book, as this series is inspired by this book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, which is a mouthful to say, by the way. So you hear me say EHS or other staff members is what we're referring to. There's study groups launched last week. All right, a big turnout for that. But you'll hear this phrase in the study groups, and maybe others of you are familiar from other outlets. But whether framing a rule of life, I could also call this listening and discerning God's will for your life. Whatever it is, here are key questions that we ask ourselves when discerning God's will for our life to try and, if we're in a season where the armor isn't fitting, right? First, let's talk about roles and relationships. What are my primary relationships? Who has God surrounded me with? But remember, your very first relationship is what? Your very first relationship is God, but what's your first role? Your first role in that relationship, you are a child of God. When I wrote out my list, I was blessed to have some time given to me, a week to kind of reflect and tune to my own spirit and soul. I'm not just telling you what to do. This comes out of a place where I've had to walk through this and I still am right now. I'm still in the process of doing it, okay? But I've gone through a list of questions, and when I went through the list of roles, you know, it took me like 3 or 4 times before I realized that the first spot wasn't child of God. I put husband or I put father, right? I put pastor or preacher. And thus, and it made sense why I was so insecure and anxious, right? My very first role is a child of God. Gifts, what are the God-given gifts, talents, and personality that you have? Desires, what are the deepest desires that God's put in you? The good and the bad, unfiltered. Some of you are like, uh-oh. Yeah, no, all of them. But then ask yourselves, which desires need to be fed? Which desires need to be starved? Right? Vision, what's the intentional passion that God has planted in you? What makes you uniquely you? Maybe you're watching the news recently and something like really fired you up. Something, you saw a need of the world that you wanted to go meet and help, right? Maybe you're having a conversation with someone and you could talk forever about the topic, right? You love it. You're passionate about it. God has made you uniquely you. Mission, what are you currently doing to live out that vision, to pursue that vision? But here's the point of all of these questions, is to try to give guidance, to encourage you and me to take the unique you, the uniquely you, and live out your days for Christ in a way that aligns with your passions and your gifts in a way that only you can. So how do we grow in the knowledge of me? How do we get that deep water faith where we grow in the knowledge of God and the knowledge of self? Believe your value is permanent. I pray that someone today experiences freedom because you hear that your value is permanent and immediate and it's done and you can't change it. You can't lose it. It's permanent. No matter what you do, no matter what job you have, no matter what paycheck you get or lack of it, your value is permanent. Learn how to feel emotion. All right, don't deny it. Don't reject it. You also don't have to bow to it. Learn how to feel it, how to navigate it. Name, test, give. Finally, commit to living out your authentic self. Commit to living out your authentic self. God's will for you and for me is really clear in the Bible. It's to love God and to love people, right? It's really clear. Love God and love people. But I do believe that God has a specific will for you, and it's based uniquely on you. Figuring out God's will in your life doesn't have to be a mystifying, like, you know, grasping at the air kind of feeling or experience. Instead, it comes from listening to God and using discernment. Listening to God, being with God, listening to him, probing your heart and asking, what desires has he given me? What passions has he given me? What opportunities surround me? Who are the people in my life? And then you go out with freedom and joy and live out God's will for your life. But you can know that your value is permanent. You could have help in processing by learning how to feel emotion. And then you commit to living out life the only way that you can, to be authentically you. Now, don't get weird about this, okay? If, like, I told you today that in order to be authentically me, I need to go to the NBA, it'd be ruthlessly loveless of you to support me in that endeavor. Do not ask to lead, be a lead singer in a band if a band has never asked you to lead in singing. All right? In order to live out authentically you, you need authentic people around you. But the people who love you the most and know you the best are going to affirm these things. They're going to say, hey, the armor doesn't fit you. The people who love God and love you, they'll see it. They'll see it. So, deep waters faith. It gives us the confidence in Jesus to say, this is me. It's rooted in value. It's prayerfully considered, processing the emotion, but ultimately we are committing to live our lives in a way that God has only wired us for. Maybe you're in a spot right now. Maybe you're in a position right now where today you needed to hear that your value is permanent. You might be going through a big transition, big heartbreak. And maybe your value feels broken because it was attached to the thing or the person you were losing. Your value is permanent. I hope that revitalizes your heart today, that truth. Maybe learning how to process emotion, to name it, test it, and give it can help you as you navigate a ton of hurt that you're going through in this season of your life. Or maybe you know what God's calling you to. You know how he's wired you. You know the passions he's given you. The people who love you the most and know you the best, they're telling you the armor doesn't fit. You're gonna have to take a step of faith, which incorporates risk. You just needed to be pushed out of the plane and now you're free falling. I hope today it feels like your parachute popped open. Deep waters faith. Gives us the confidence in Jesus to say, this is me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that our soul was worth you going to the cross for. Would you help us to learn and to know how to be attentive to our soul, to know the desires you've given us, the passions you've given us. And Lord, to never confuse our perceived purpose with our permanent value. Thank you, God, that we can't mess up our value. Thank you, God, that you never take away any of our value, but instead we are free to be able to say, with confidence rooted in you, this is me. This is who Jesus has made me to be. So Jesus, if there's a person in this room today, anywhere, on stage, sitting in chairs, watching from home, who feels that conviction of the armor doesn't fit, I pray that you'd fill them with faith and wisdom. If there is someone today who didn't know that they could experience permanent value. I pray that today would be the day where they could say, as John said, how great is the love that the Lord has lavished on me, that I should be called a child of God, and that is what I am. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Chad referenced David and Goliath and how David's armor didn't fit. Are you in a place where the armor doesn't fit? Maybe at work, at home, or maybe in life in general? If so, remember God's will for you is uniquely for you. Thanks so much for listening. If you'd like to connect with us this week, please fill out the form found at bridgepointfl.com/connectcard. And if you need prayer, you can let our prayer team know by filling out the form at bridgepointfl.com/prayer. Have a great week, everyone.